This is the week, Holy Week, when we remember and celebrate and lay hold of the blessed passion and death for our sins of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I was doing one of my degrees in university, I had to study what was called the work of Christ, which meant that I had to look at every major writing that had ever been written interpreting the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Simple things like when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We believe he was separated from God and bearing our sins on our behalf. When he cried, it is finished, we believe it was a cry of triumph, saying that the way of salvation was finished, his whole work was finished, and the devil's reign on earth had finished. But very few, if ever, people, writers, have I read and taken to heart what Jesus himself thought about his death, passion, how Jesus himself interpreted what was going to happen on Good Friday. And I want us this morning to look at the cross, the passion, the death of Jesus as he anticipated it through Jesus' own eyes, thoughts, and the meaning he gave to what was happening and what was going to happen. Let's look at it not through the eyes of theologians or Bible students, but simply through the eyes and heart of Jesus. Firstly, he wanted his death, passion, and his very life to be remembered. Now, we are used in our time, in times gone by, to raising great monuments, like the Cenotaph in London, to remember something that has happened in the past, and every year the Queen and others go and lay poppies and so on at that monument, that memorial to the First and Second World Wars in particular. Jesus did not ask that a monument be built to remember him, his death, and his passion. What he did do was to institute a simple meal that would be a remembrance of his life and death for his people. Simple meal which we call the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, or what. And that meal has been commemorated by the Lord's people now for over 2,000 years. Every Lord's Day, and often a lot more, God's, Jesus' own people have gathered together around this table as a memorial. It's come right down without interruption to through 2,000 years, and that speaks volumes in itself. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And that's what we've done. So without doubt, the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, is a memorial, is a remembrance of Jesus and what he did on the cross. But the Greek word for remembrance is anamnesis, and it's a very interesting word. It means more than just thinking about what happened in the past. It has the meaning of bringing the past into the present, getting hold of the past and making it as a reality today. That's what the word means. So every time we celebrate this feast of the Lord's Supper, we are celebrating the presence of Jesus at the upper room. We are not only calling to mind, we are living again those moments when Jesus broke the bread and poured out the wine. So we take hold of the presence of Jesus, and as the pastor breaks the bread and pours out the wine, it's as if we are present at the very first time that Jesus did it. This is what it means when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Take hold of this event I'm now doing and make it alive, make it present in every generation which is to follow. So, looking through the eyes of Jesus, the Holy Communion is a dramatic remembrance, a memorial, a living presence of all that Jesus was and did. And as we take the bread and drink the wine, we must, by faith, lay hold of the presence of Jesus with us in this simple feast. That's how Jesus looked at this feast and his death and passion. A definite remembrance, bringing into the present in this year of 2017 all that happened on that evening. Secondly, Jesus knew that by his death, by his shed blood, he was bringing into being a new covenant relationship between man and God. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. What did he mean by that? Our Bible is divided into two testaments, old and new. The word testament means covenant, an old covenant and a new covenant. The Jews, of course, through all their journeying in the wilderness and their entry into the promised land, and their history, kept the old covenant, an agreement between God and man, that he would be the God of the Jewish nation, and they would be his special people. An agreement on two sides, God making his promises and the people of the Jews making theirs. But Jesus said, when I die on the cross, and this is why what we capture in the Holy Communion, I will be bringing into being a new covenant. Jeremiah prophesied about it in his 30, what we call the 31st chapter of his prophecy. A new covenant will I make with the house of Israel. Not as the old covenant, which was written on stone and letters to keep outwardly, but a new covenant. I will write my laws upon their hearts, upon their innermost being. Will they keep this new covenant, not by outward observance of precepts and laws. So at Jesus' death, this is the new covenant in my blood. And every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we shall this morning, we are renewing that covenant relationship between ourselves and God. He will be our God. That is immutable, unbreakable, never-ending promise. He will be your Father and mine by divine promise, statute, and commandment which shall never be broken. Nothing will stop him being our Heavenly Father. It's written on our hearts. It's written in his word. On our part, in response to his unending fatherly love, we promise not necessarily to keep outward precepts and laws and commandments like the Jews, but from our heart to love him and obey him. This is the new covenant in my blood. When I die on the cross tomorrow, my blood is shed, there will come into being a new covenant, a new relationship between God and his people. He will be their Father, and from their hearts they will love and serve and obey. An outward sign that this covenant was coming into being was that when the darkness was over the whole land and it stopped, the veil of the temple between the very essence of the presence of God and his people was torn in two, and it was massive and it was thick. Divine hands pulled it apart. Now there was a new relationship between God and his people, which Jesus foretold at the Last Supper. When I die, when my blood is shed, there will come into being a new covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. Thirdly, this sacrifice, this death, was a sacrifice. Now, to understand that, you have to go back into the Old Testament, where what were called sin offerings, seeking forgiveness from God, were offered on behalf of Jewish worshippers. They provided a lamb, spotless, as pure as it could to be slain on the altar. And as it was slain, they believed that it was carrying their sins and the price of them, and they would be forgiven. But notice, they always, to identify with that sacrifice, to say it was theirs, they ate part of the meat and drank part of the blood of that sacrifice. Jesus was going to offer one perfect, sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And he was doing it, he was giving it, and this is what the disciples would have understood, what Jesus was saying when he was making his sacrifice, and he said, "This is my body. Eat it. This is my blood. Drink it. In so doing, you will make my sacrifice yours. In so doing, you will identify with what's going to happen to me tomorrow when my blood is shed on the cross." A lot of Christians, like evangelical Christians, don't like to read John chapter 6 because it smacks of things they're not really sure about or don't even believe. You must believe Jesus' own words. He said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day," foretelling his sacrifice. "This is my body. This is my blood." All kinds, including what I believe to be the false doctrine of transubstantiation of the Roman Catholics, all kinds of attempts have been made to make sense of it. How I make sense of it is that when we take that bread this morning, it is a representation of the body of Christ. When we drink the cup, it is a representation of the blood of Christ. "And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood in the bread and wine, I will raise him up at the last day." So Jesus saw his death and passion as a sacrifice, and he instituted it and brought it into mind at the Last Supper, which we do. We renew our covenant with God. We also make Jesus' blood. Isaiah 53, "When thou shalt make my soul an offering for sin," an offering for sin. And I know when I am having my own personal devotional times in the morning, and I feel I need to do it, I say, "Lord, receive the sacrifice of Jesus as an offering for my sin. A remembrance, a new covenant." All this was happening through Jesus' eyes on the next day, and a sacrifice. By faith, we lay hold of that sacrifice. It isn't another sacrifice, like the Roman Catholics say. Through eating the bread and drinking the cup, we lay hold by faith and identify ourselves with the sacrifice of Jesus made 2,000 years ago, and as we eat it, all our sins are forgiven. That we can take with great gratitude. And finally, It is a fellowship meal. Jesus did not do this breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine all by himself. He did it in the company of his disciples. A fellowship of those who have been with him. And he wasn't saying you individually remember this. He was saying you together remember this. So the sacrifice of Jesus hasn't only an upward meaning, it has a horizontal meaning. We do it together as a church and as a people, as we take that one bread and that one cup, we are affirming our deep fellowship together, our deep relationship which goes beyond even the most wonderful friendship we could have with anybody on earth. We belong together. Jesus did it for us all together. And we share that bread and that wine, symbolizing the body and blood of Jesus. In the words of Scripture, we are one body. One body. Because we all share in the one cup. I'd like to finish by emphasizing that in a hymn, which I forgot we had, in Songs of Fellowship, which I have sung often at gatherings of the Lord's Supper. Let us break bread together on our knees. I'll just read it from this book because I think it is very, very significant of the fellowship we share as we take the Lord's Supper this morning. Let us break bread together. We are one. Let us break bread together. We are one. We are one as we stand with our face to the risen sun. O Lord, have mercy on us. Let us drink wine together. We are one. Let us drink wine together. We are one. We are one as we stand with our face to the risen sun. O Lord, have mercy on us. Let us praise God together. We are one. Let us praise God together. We are one. We are one as we break the bread with our face to the risen sun. Let us praise God together. We are one. We do this. It is the most important service of the church. It is looking at the cross through the eyes of Jesus. It is a remembrance. We renew our covenant, which is a new covenant with God. We link ourselves with the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins, and we share this together as a fellowship. Amen.